Phoenix FM, Steve Robertson, and live on the line from LA, Marcella Detroit. Hello, Marcella.
Hello. How's everything in the UK?
It's lovely. It's lovely. Yeah. We're into March, so we're looking forward to a warmer spring. How are things with you?
Well, you know, we have perpetual summer over here, so I won't tell you or your listeners because you'll get mad at me.
We know
you
what
really
it's
will.
Like.
You'll be very angry and jealous.
We know what it's like there. We've seen the films. But, I mean, you yourself, through the years, you've spent plenty of time in Europe and the UK, so you know what things are like here in March. It's not the worst place to be, is it?
No. It's a nice time. You're getting a mix of everything, aren't you? It's not really quite spring. It's not winter really anymore, although you could still have that. I remember once I came over to London. It was at the end of March. I think my flight landed like March 31st, and it was snowing. So you never know. And I'm from Detroit, and I remember, you know, going to school, and sometimes during the day it would be, you know, a nice day, and then later on that day it would just start snowing and get really stormy, and we could have thunderstorms and snow in the same day. It was just crazy. It's a changeable time of year, but that's what you get.
But you live in quite a good part of the world, and really, I mean, is that where you now consider home?
Yeah, I've been here way too long. I tried to fight it for a long time because I always thought maybe I was a bit of a snob about it. I really don't like LA. It's not my kind of people. And you know what? It's really not. It's a real transient place. So many people coming here to make it. But, I mean, you know, to have a better life, enjoy the weather and make connections. But it's there's something about, there's a dark underbelly about it here. People in your face are really like, hi, oh, have a nice day. But underneath, they're talking about you, and they happily stab you in the back if it could get them any further. So that part about it I do not like. But, you know, it is my home. I've been here longer than 20 years. And
wow.
That kind of makes me a native at this point.
And I mean, at the moment, you're recording, you've got a new EP coming out, and you had your new album last year as well. So LA is a good place to be busy in the music industry.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of music going on. There's a lot of artists, lots and lots of artists and actors, and it's a real hub of the arts, you know, and creativity in many ways.
And is it a myth? I mean, can you bump into a Hollywood superstar just going down the road?
Well, you could. It's nothing that happens every day. You know, it depends on where you hang out. And sometimes if you're lucky, you'll be in Malibu and you'll see somebody. Or if you're in Beverly Hills, I walked into a store and Sharon Osbourne was in there. And, you know, I mean, loads of different people, Dita Von Teese and a lot of different people walking around. You know, it's where they live and where they do their business. So it's, you're going to see somebody if you hang around here long enough.
Wow.
But I have to tell you, I will be coming back to jolly old England. My husband is a Brit, and if Trump, I don't know what people think about him over there, but if he gets into office, we're moving back.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. So absolutely.
So we'll be watching what happens with the election with bated breath as well.
Oh, my God. It's a circus. Anyway.
Yes. I can only imagine. And yes. And we do get quite a bit of the coverage here as well.
Fuck you.
I mean, you yourself, you've been involved in so much. I mean, it wouldn't be wrong to say that anyone listening now, that probably we know you best for Shakespeare's Sister. I mean, Stay was number one for, what, something like 8 weeks, wasn't it, in the UK?
Yeah, 8 weeks. It was the longest running number one and still holds a record for a female UK band.
I'm just going to pause it for a second because there's someone out there. I won't be a moment. I really
All right,
won't. Yeah, which is, I mean, that long for a number one. Is that still the record, even with the likes of the Spice Girls?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I've not heard that the record has been broken yet.
No, I can believe it because it was the soundtrack to the start of the year. It really was that sort of song.
Right, yeah. It came out at the end of January of 1992. Yeah, so it was pretty much, the beginning of the year and went on for 8 weeks after that. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
No. And much parodied as well. I mean, you did see that song a lot of the time, even the likes of French and Saunders doing parodies of the song as well. Do you still look out for any references to it, even in a film? I mean, and also, do you get to know when it's going to appear? Because it does depend on the rights, doesn't it?
Well, you know, people can record anybody's songs. All they have to do is contact their publishers and register it with certain societies, and they can do it. And the artist is not always contacted. I remember when Cher Lloyd covered it, I think it was on X Factor in the UK.
Yeah.
And I only heard about it after the fact. Somebody contacted me on Facebook and said, hey, this girl named Cher Lloyd has done a version of Stay. And I thought she did a really good job, but it was obviously really different from ours.
Yes.
But still, it was good. You know, yeah. It's always fun to hear someone else's version.
And it must be nice to have that, to look back, have those memories, and for it to still be alive. You know, you could turn the radio on at any time, couldn't you, and you'd hear one of your songs.
Yeah, sometimes it really, you know, freaks me out. I'll be in the supermarket and I'll be, you know, just kind of looking for my cereal, and all of a sudden out of the corner of my mind I'll hear a song that I've written or that I've sung on, and I'll think, oh my God, that's me, huh? That's me. If I told people here, they wouldn't believe it. You know, they'd think I was out of my mind. But I am out of my mind, but that's besides the point.
Oh, well. I mean, if you're not used to that now, you never will be, really, will you?
I don't think you can ever get used to that or take it for granted, you know. I feel really grateful and fortunate to be able to do what I do and have done my entire life. That is a blessing, and I would never take that for granted.
No. And, I mean, you are in a position where you've written a lot of songs as well. I mean, it's not just that you are the voice. You've written with Eric Clapton, haven't you? It's not just, like I say, anyone listening, they'll remember you most for Shakespeare's Sister, but there's a lot else going on there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I started out my career working with Bob Seger. I don't know if many people over there are big fans.
Oh, yeah, and the Silver Bullet Band, wasn't it? Yeah.
Right, but I was before the Silver Bullet Band.
Right.
And then after that, I moved to, believe it or not, Tulsa, Oklahoma, with some guys that were in Bob Seger's band. They invited me to move to Tulsa, and I wanted to go because there was a budding music scene there with incredible bands like J.J. Cale, the Gap Band, which are amazing R&B soul band, and Leon Russell, who was part of the Shelter People. And I don't know if you're familiar with this movie called The Wrecking Crew.
Yes.
But it was about all these amazing session studio musicians that played on all the hits back in the 60s. Well, Leon was part of The Wrecking Crew, and he did Mad Dogs and Englishmen with Joe Cocker. And I always loved Leon's music, and I wanted to go to Tulsa to be with my friends, but also because I wanted to work with Leon. So it's a good thing I did, because when I got there, slowly after, my friends and I formed a band, and we were like the big fish in the little pond. But people, all those people I just mentioned, used to come in and jam with us, sit in with us. And one day, Carl Radle, from the bass player from Derek and the Dominoes, Eric's band, came in and saw us. Eric was looking for a band, and then he told Eric about us, and within a few weeks, Eric hired us all. But I couldn't, because I couldn't join, because I already committed to working with Leon. I was on the road with him for 9 months. I was the featured solo vocalist on a song. He always gave one of the girls a featured song, so
right.
I was that. And then after that ended, I went and joined my friends and worked with Clapton and co-wrote several songs with Eric, with and or for Eric. There were about 9 songs. One of them was Lay Down Sally.
Yes. Yeah, which is the one that I suppose was that the biggest hit? Certainly the one that we remember more now.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, from that era, I would say, you know, over here in my studio, I have a little, you know, gold 45. It went gold in the States.
Yeah.
So that was just a single, which means that it sold over 500,000 copies. So I'm sure it did, you know, quite well in the UK, too,
yeah.
And worldwide. It was a pretty big hit for him.
And you're looking back on all this with in a different world where... in those days, if you appeared on TV, it didn't automatically appear on YouTube afterwards, so you could watch yourself. You know, you can promote things on Facebook, Twitter, your own website as well. All these things have changed, but ultimately, you're still the same old you with the same voice.
Yeah, I guess so. hopefully, you know, learned a few things.
Yes.
And wouldn't repeat some things, or would try to be more open about some things. But, yeah, I mean, it's amazing, you know, what we can do in the world these days. I think technology is incredible. YouTube, if you would have said that name, you know, back then, people would have gone, "Where are you, an alien from another planet? What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
But now what we can do is just so vast, beyond any comprehension I would have had when I was a young girl growing up listening to my little transistor radio in my ear walking to school.
Mm.
Now what you can do, I mean, the world is at our fingertips. I think it's a good thing and a bad thing, because
yes,
I think we can all get a little bit too isolated with everything that we have now. And that kind of worries me.
And it's
I don't like it for children. I don't think it's a good thing.
No. And I think in terms of the music as well, you can...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if it's picked up by the right people and goes viral, you can almost become an overnight sensation overnight, you know, which never used to happen, did it?
No. And can somebody teach me how to do that? Viral marketing. I've tried hiring people and talking to people like, what is this? How do we do this? I mean, what do you have to do? Well, basically, you have to either get naked or you have to do something really outrageous like Kanye West, and everybody in the world thinks you're a complete,
yes,
you know, twit. But, you know, I mean, how much do you want the attention? I don't really live my life for that, so...
No.
You just have to be true to yourself in the end, and if it works, it works. And if you're, I think it's about enjoying the process and not getting so caught up in the, you know, what's happening out there and how can I, you know, everybody notice me. I don't know. It's just it can lead you to a very dark and unhappy place. So,
but I mean, at the moment, you're promoting your EP and the way that you've been promoting the album as well, the old-fashioned way. We're talking on the radio. All right, this will go up on our website, but ultimately we're talking on the radio, and that's what you feel more comfortable with by the sound of things.
You know, I'm comfortable either way. I like doing interviews. I like talking about my work. I just don't really think it's necessary to sell your soul in the process.
Yeah.
You can lose your soul if you sell it.
And I mean, in terms of the songs that you've got and what you're dealing with now, you've got the two tracks, haven't you? You've got Drag Queen and What's the Time in Tokyo that we'll be playing out here as well. I mean, as far as What's the Time in Tokyo?
Yeah.
If people recognise that, that was in the Eurovision Song Contest for a Belgian artist, wasn't it, a couple of years ago?
Yeah, 2014. I did a... my publisher sent me on a songwriting kind of a camp or expo thing over in Greece, in Santorini. And it's in this situation where you've got like 40 writers and you're put together in a room with people you don't even know and to write like a few songs a day.
Right.
And this one day I wrote with these two guys. The morning session did not go well. The afternoon, though, was brilliant. I worked with these guys, a guy named Paul Drew of a company called DWB Music based in the UK, and a Danish writer named Marcus Winterjohn, and we wrote one song before lunch, completely finished with a demo and everything, and after lunch we wrote that amazing song, What's a Time in Tokyo, that I put the vocals on. We co-wrote it, and the publishers got it out to... some artist, this Belgian artist named Syl, and she did quite well with it. I think it was a single for her, and she made it into the semifinals.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a great song. I always loved it, and the guys that I wrote it with loved it, and when it came time to do my album, I thought, I really love this song. I have to put it on my album.
And it must be great to be so proud of your most recent works as well, because, as I say, we're talking about Shakespeare's sister, we're talking about what you're known as, known for more in this country. But on top of that, the amount of people watching the Eurovision Song Contest as well.
Yeah. Yeah, million. How many millions?
Oh, it's silly amounts. I think in the UK there are about 12 million watching it, and however many countries you've got there, well, 200 million. There's a guess. It's probably more
That's
than
crazy.
That.
And yet, if you mention it in America, they go, "What's that?"
It's big in Australia, though. We even had an Australian entry last year.
Yeah, I don't understand why North America isn't included in it. I don't understand. But it's a big deal, very big deal.
Well, look, I mean, in terms of promotion now, are you touring? What are your plans that you've got for the next year or so?
Well, as you said, and thank you for talking to me about it, my album, Grey Matters, is what I'm promoting.
Yes.
And people can find out more about it on a website we created for it called Grey Matters, and that's spelled with a Z at the end, not an S.
And it's two Grey T's, Matters. Isn't it? M-A-T-T-E-R-Z, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. .info. There's insights to all the songs, all my inspirations and all the lyrics, and... Yeah, I'm promoting that, and this will be the second single release, although we had one single release last September, so I'm about to do a re-release of the album.
Right,
Because I still feel it's new, and it's got so much to offer, and I've had such a great response from it, from so many people. The fans have been so sweet and really love it, and I'm really excited about the new release, Drag Queen, which I've had several remixes done by some incredible DJs, which are all included in the little mini EP release, which
right.
is out officially March the 18th. So yeah, I'm doing that, and I hope to get over to the UK, you know, depending on how things go. We'll see. Hopefully I'll do some touring over there sometime in the near future.
Well, it'll be great to see you down here. If you're popping by round by the M25, do pop into Brentwood as well, won't you? Say hello to us.
I will, absolutely. Thanks.
And I've got to say to anyone listening in the UK, Grey is spelt the American way, isn't it? G-R-A-Y, when we're talking
right,
about
yeah.
the album, because we automatically do it with an E.
A lot of things that are different over here from over there. Always challenging, you know.
Yes, yeah.
To figure it out, but it's interesting. I think it's fun.
Oh, yeah, and it's easy enough with the internet because people can look you up and they can see exactly where to find your music as well.
Exactly, and this EP is going to be available worldwide on all digital download sites.
Wonderful.
Anywhere in the world, like I said. If you wanted a physical copy, you could go to Amazon On Demand, and they will do a physical copy with the artwork that is done for the digital release.
Wow.
But yeah, it can be gotten anywhere.
You've got so much to think of. The artwork, like the old days, and all of the new platforms as well.
You know, being an independent artist, I mean... I'm a little bit old school, but you really have to wear a lot of hats. I have to wear the hat of, you know, well, image was always a thing that we had to consider when you're an artist anyway, even in the old days. But, you know, you have to be good at marketing, you have to be good at promo, you have to be good at videos, knowing exactly what you want to say. You know, there's a lot to take on. It's a big responsibility, but it's also a lot of fun, and there's more freedom in it these days.
Yes, yeah. And it sounds like you're loving every minute.
I am, really. You know, if you're not having fun, what's the point, right?
Absolutely. Well, look, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. We'll be playing your music a lot on the station over the next couple of months anyway, no doubt about that. And
thank you.
And hope to speak to you soon or even pop in and see us when you're next in the UK.
Yes, well, we'll keep you posted.
Look forward to it. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.